Hey guys, welcome to Let Me Talk Podcast Season 4, Episode 94. Today's guest, Carly Williams, is an Australian actress who's best known for her roles on Neighbours, the Dr. Blake Mysteries, and the Siege of Robin Hood, and many, many more things. She is a multifaceted talent, and I'm just so excited to have her on here today. She's a good friend, and I feel like you guys are going to love this conversation. So without giving anything else away, let's get into the episode. Carly, thank you so much for coming on Let Me Talk Podcast today. I'm so excited to have you here.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. Thanks so much for asking.
How have you been? How's everything going on in your life, in your world?
Everything's good at the moment. I am just in a world of pain with my visa documents for the
year. Oh, no.
But I'm staying inspired and I'm staying, just reminding myself why I'm getting the visa in the first place. So, yeah. But apart from that, yeah, things are going well.
You've been traveling, right? Like you've been around the globe.
Yeah, I traveled last year, which was my first big trip after COVID. I justify so many things to myself by saying, well, you have kids, so do what you want. Results in a lot of big trips and silly adventures.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's like spontaneous trips and big adventures are fun.
It's a full addiction. If you don't have anything tethering you down, which I don't, I'm like, stuffer, let's go see more of the world.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's me. I'm like, I've got to stop. Like, this is my year to like not to stay in Melbourne.
Good luck with that. Yeah. I'm not doing the same.
It's hard. I'm already like, oh God, I just like wish I could go to like Europe or something, but I'm trying to like stop myself.
Don't. Why would you?
I don't know, because I'm like, I'm turning 30 next year and I'm like, I wanted to like go like save as much annual leave as I can and then go on a bigger trip. So that's kind of like my vibe.
I support that. Yeah. Well, the last trip that I did last year, it sounds like I travel all the time. I like work, and then like go on a big trip. So I kind of do anything. But the last trip, I was sort of sussing where else I could maybe live. And so I did the UK, where my visa would be 20 times easier to get. And then ended up losing a lot of that trip because I got COVID for the first time.
Oh, no.
Which is fine. That's fine. And then ended up doing parts of Europe and then back to LA, because apparently I can't stay away.
Yeah.
And yeah, when I got to LA, I don't know, there was just this sense of like, I've got people here, I've got a community, some of my best, most beautiful friends are here that I love dearly. And I think that just played a huge role in me saying, if you want to be here, just do it.
Yeah.
So like all my logic is saying why, like I want to be somewhere that I can settle down and like I've finally, I think, scratched that itch of going on stupid adventures, and now I want to be somewhere where I can build a life and have more. And it just, so I don't know, maybe it does feel counterintuitive to go.
Did you like the UK, or were you kind of just like,
oh my God, I love a vibe so much.
The weather though, like I feel like the weather would be, I mean, it's not that hard coming from Melbourne, but are you like more of a summer or winter?
Oh, give me summer all day, every day.
Yeah.
I can't function in the cold.
That's why I love LA though, because it's like, so it's consistent weather. Like it's not like Melbourne.
Waking up to consistent sun, that is actually like a full, like that helps.
Oh yeah. It changes your mood completely.
That's a full reason to be somewhere.
For sure. But like to be somewhere, but like I wouldn't want to live in like the Gold Coast. I just don't know. I just couldn't live in the Gold Coast.
Yeah, not in Melbourne.
Yeah, like not compared to Melbourne. Like I'll happily move to LA, but I'm not going to the Gold Coast.
Oh my God, you and me both. That's such a funny delineation.
It is weird. Like people are like, well, you can just move to like the Gold Coast. I'm like, yeah, no, I'd rather just deal with the four seasons in one day.
Totally. And I feel like it's maybe a bit the same with LA versus New York versus London.
Mm.
I really feel like London, I really could have moved. New York, I could go all day, every day. Something about LA, and maybe it is just the sun.
I feel like the next thing I want to do if I go, like, I actually want to do like a stint in New York, just like live there, see what it's like. I feel like it would be like so amazing.
Say goodbye to all your money.
Yeah, true. I know. Got to be rich. You got to be like somewhat wealthy.
It is so cool though. And I'm such a theater nerd that I was just like, spent all day in Central Park, all night going to theater.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a good life. Well, let's like, we got sidetracked, but
I know.
I enjoy a sidetrack. We started with a rapid fire on the pod. I'm not sure if you've listened to May. I change it up depending on who I'm speaking to sometimes, but
I'm nervous.
A lot of the actors, I do the same thing because, you know, then it becomes too insane. But are you ready?
My heart rate just went up when you said rapid
fire. It's like a rapid fire, but like not really. Like people are like, these are like the easiest questions. And I'm like, well, it's good to elaborate as well.
I know. Have you heard me tangent?
Yeah, I love it. Bring it in. Bring it into the conversation. So the first question is, what entertainer inspires you the most and why, I guess? Can be anyone, whoever you gravitate towards.
Oh, my God. So many. Over the years, consistently, Amy Poehler.
Yeah, she's cool.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I could just watch her and Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig. Saturday Night Live, old school sketches. I just love women with so much gusto and so much balls. Like,
yeah,
you did it in LA as well, UCB. And
I didn't do it.
Didn't you?
No, I was planning on doing it, and then like, you know, the two jobs of freaking over there just got in the way.
Yeah, I remember talking to you a while back about UCB. So
I wanted to do it, and then I didn't. But I hopefully the next time around, you know, I can do it.
Yeah, it's such a like institution. But I just I remember reading in Tina Fey's book as well about when she first met Amy Poehler over a table read or just sort of a meeting, and she said she did something quite like out there, and Jimmy Fallon, I'm probably getting this all wrong, said like, oh, that's going to come across very nice or very attractive. And she just jumped over the table and hit the table and went, I'm the fuck. And I was like, oh, my God. And, like, even just reading it, I'm like, I was so jolted out of my own, like, giving way too many fucks reality. And I'm like, shit, okay. Oh, sorry.
You can swear. You can swear.
I was like, oh, fucking shit, fucking. No, I won't. I was like, Jesus Christ, this woman. Just amazing. I need to employ more of this energy.
Yeah,
over the years, those strong women with just being like balls to the wall, hilarious.
Mm.
And giving so much to the scene, creating their own work, creating characters.
Definitely.
Oh, my God.
Just the people that can do, put them in anything and they can just make it something amazing.
Exactly. Like they themselves are just so expressive and have so much to say and just can find the funny. For sure.
Yeah. The next one is film or TV, what do you prefer to watch?
At the moment I'm getting way back into film.
Yeah.
Because being in the cinema again after so long out of the cinema is such a vibe. But I also watch TV all day, every day.
Yeah, I struggle to, like, I was saying this before, I think it was last week, I was like, I can watch like 10 episodes of a TV show with, like, no break. But then when it comes to a movie, it depends what movie I'm watching. Like, I have to, like, pause it sometimes and, like, go and do something else and then come back to it.
TikTok attention span.
Yeah, it's so annoying, though, because it never used to be like that. You could sit, like, back in the day at home and watch movies like one after the other, like consistently. And now you're just like, far out, too much TikTok.
Absolutely. I love the experience though of going to the cinema for that reason.
Yeah.
all blacked out, can't be on my phone. If I see anyone like pulling up a screen in the cinema, if I see that little glow, I'm instantly annoyed.
Oh, yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah, it prevents me from picking up my phone because I've always, when I watch anything, I'm always doing something and I've got TV on in the background. And I joke that it like babysits my monkey mind so I can focus on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But it means like I rewatch things over and over.
Yeah, you like miss that. Rewatch it.
And I just love a binge. I love
for sure.
How far you can go with the series as well. Like you're not restricted to 2.5 hours. Bring back the 1.5 hour movie as well.
Yeah. There's some that just go too long. Like I really like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but I feel like it dragged a little too long.
Yeah. Well, having said that, like I'm about to backtrack on my words as well. I love seeing the director's cut where it's like 4.5 hours.
Yeah, you're just like, I like the small ones, but I also like the big, long 4.5 hour ones where I can.
Yeah, when I'm in for a sesh, yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. And the next one is indie or blockbuster. What do you prefer to watch?
Oh man, a good indie.
Mm.
I think probably my favorite movies are blockbusters.
Yeah.
Because you can do so much with a big budget.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think you can break the rules more with indies.
Yeah, I feel like America comes out with great blockbusters, and I feel like we here do like great indies. Like I'd prefer to watch an Australian indie than an Australian blockbuster.
Big, do we have Australian blockbusters? What's that?
Yeah, I think we do. We do. We have like, what's friggin' one of it? Like The Dressmaker, I think that was
blockbuster. Oh yeah.
But that was all right, but I was like, prefer the indie movies that you just randomly see on like Netflix that are Australian.
Yeah. Well, I just went the other night to see Love Lies Bleeding, which is American indie.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you could call it indie because it's like 5 times the budget of Australian blockbuster, such as the industry. But it was just, I don't know, there were no rules to it.
Yeah.
And it was just, it's Kristen Stewart being like her Kristen Stewart best. It's these outlandish ending that was like no one saw coming.
Yeah.
It's like gritty. It doesn't, it gives less fucks about box office and audience testing.
Yeah. Did you like Barbie? Did you watch Barbie?
I'm so obsessed with Barbie. Oh my God, my obsession with Margot Robbie is going on unhealthy. Such as like the rest of the world, I'm just a basic bitch at heart. And
no, you're not. She did a really good job. Like, I don't know. I think she got snubbed like a little bit. Like, it's not fair. Like, I just don't feel like they like. I don't feel like the Academy like Greta. Like, I'm just like, I feel like they have something against the poor girl.
Greta should have got the nom for sure. I just thought it was so smart and so, I feel like all the people saying that it's like against men or like being all patriarchy about it. It's like, yeah, that's the point. She was just like smart in her way to address it all. And it's just such a fun, beautiful film. I love being lost in a world. I love films that create a whole new world.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't like what you were expecting. You know what I mean? Like you're probably expecting to go in there and be like, oh yeah, this is going to be like fun, lighthearted, you know, something for the kids. But it actually just blew my mind. I was like, oh my God. Like the way she made it and involved such the history of Barbie.
Yeah.
And it was just incredible. But I just don't understand. I'm like, I don't understand how she didn't get at least a nomination.
Yeah.
Like, you can't ever expect a win, but the nomination would have been, like, good.
Yeah, exactly. And, it's not the first Barbie movie. It's just the first Barbie movie that acknowledged Barbie's history and acknowledged the problematic aspects of Barbie and sort of took Barbie into future, I guess.
Yeah, and humanized her, like made her someone that's like relatable to like the human race.
I think that's the thing that creeps up on you as well, was as you see Barbie Margot slowly become human, and you see Ken go through his
Ryan Gosling was actually really good in it. Like, he was like funny and just like he brought the light in it compared to like what we were all the women side of things. He brought like some sort of like fun element to it. And even at the Oscars, I'm like, oh my God, the performance is so funny.
He just leant in like 200%, and his little tantrums, and then like bringing it home in the end with like a real like emotional scene between the two of them. It's like, it's all meant for everyone.
Exactly. Oh, it's such a good film. I'm so like, I'm sad for them that they didn't get that many nominations. I'm glad Billy and Phineas won, but I'm like, fucking hell, like they only won that like award. Like, that was it's a great song, but they should have won more awards. Even for costume, I'm like, far out. Like, that was their costume, their set design was incredible.
They didn't win the awards, but they won capitalism, and I would argue that that's maybe more important under our social structure.
Exactly. It's insane to me how like far we've come, but how far we still have to like go with this stuff.
Yeah, but did you see Poor Things? Because
I haven't watched it. I've heard it's amazing though.
Jesus, talk about like being blown away. I saw it with, you know, Shannon.
Shout out Shannon,
love her. Shout out to see it at her work at Nova. We just sat there in the cinema for so long after, just completely blown away. And then we turned to each other after like a while of silence.
Yeah.
Which costumes are you gonna try and recreate? But I feel like
they just nailed like every single department, which is so like, it's so good. And she deserved like 100%. Like, everyone deserved the awards that they won, but I just feel like the Academy have something against Greta. I'm like, something weird there. Maybe she's just too far ahead for them. Like, maybe they're not there yet.
Right. In like 3 years, they're all going to turn around and be like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah, exactly. She's just too far ahead of the pack. She makes films that are like, they're just so real. Like, they relate to so many people.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of good, more indie vibes, Frances Ha was one of the first films that I saw of hers.
Mm.
But I was like, oh my God, this is a woman who's got something to say.
Yeah.
This, like, that, and she's just been on my bucket list of women to
work with,
become. Yeah.
Yeah. Has anyone ever told you look like Lauren Graham a little bit? I feel like I'm looking at you now and I'm like, you look like Lauren Graham a little bit.
Lauren Graham? No, that's a new one.
Hmm.
I mean, yeah, I get.
But I've been watching, like, rewatching Gilmore Girls, and I'm like, you actually do.
Oh my God, I'll take that. Lorelai's
a lot. She's great.
Love Gilmore Girls.
So random, but it's like, I was thinking about it.
Most terrified of roles where it's fast talking, and I feel like Gilmore Girls. How they're just like this rapid fire of like,
I have no idea, and I don't even know how the creator came up with that many words. Like, I'm like, how did you do all that? Like, how did you have that brain to be able to like just keep writing and like it makes such an impact? And but I feel like if Lauren Graham didn't do that role, she wouldn't have been the same. Like, no one else. I feel like she just talks so fast.
Definitely related in some way to Aaron Sorkin.
Exactly.
Wait, is it the same creator as Mrs. Maisel?
I'm pretty sure.
And I'm marveling at Rachel Brosnahan in the same way, where I'm just like, oh my God, I just wish I could speak that way and do those kinds of roles.
Yeah, well, I mean, you never know. Maybe you can. Maybe you're manifesting it now.
Putting it out right now. This is part of it. This is part of my manifestation.
It's so weird because, like, I was like, when I was doing Fostered, even the short film that I did, I was like it was like a cult like vibe. And then like a couple of weeks later, I got like a cult like audition, like a TV show audition to be in a cult. And I was like, what the hell? It's like you manifest these things without realizing it.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, let me add to my manifestation just in case the universe is listening. You could always Russell, Jennifer Lawrence, Amy Adams. All right.
Everyone.
Just because like we're on that train. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Then, well, the last question in this rapid fire is, when are you most inspired?
I am most inspired when I'm taking care of myself and in good health. I'm exercising. I'm looking after my artist body, and I'm surrounding myself with good art.
Yeah.
And art of all types.
Mm.
Like I love, I've got a lot of art around the house. I keep buying antique jewelry, which is, I just bought another ring. So it's like very,
I love it.
Mind. And I can't stop looking at it. And I'm just so, like, holy shit, this is from the earth and it's just so beautiful. So, yeah, beautiful things, really.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, take me back to young Carly. Were you always wanting to be in the entertainment industry, or did it kind of just happen to come about when you were a little older?
No, I think it's definitely always been in me. I was one of those really insufferable kids who put on shows for mum and dad and, you know, dance recitals to whatever Disney film was out at the time.
Yeah.
So it definitely started young. And yeah, then when I was in high school, I think, after doing every school musical. Yeah, in high school, the school musicals and drama at school, and I went to a very academic school, so it wasn't very, they didn't have a huge drama program. So I went to after school programs with Children's Performing Company of Australia. And eventually did their Young Australian Broadway Chorus program.
Oh,
so
wow.
All through school, I was doing whatever I could do in school, whatever I could do outside of school.
Yeah.
I was a full theatre nerd.
What, like, gravitated you towards that versus, like, an academic kind of life? Were you just more creatively?
Academic exploring. No joke.
Yeah.
And also not boring. I really.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of a little bit, like.
I want to get lost in a world, and I love just creating something from scratch. I love just exploring different parts of humanity and myself, and just real world isn't enough for me. It's like, yeah. I want to be immersed in it. And I always loved subjects like English, literature, history, because I suppose I'm wrong in what I was saying, because as we know, the world is so vast and there is so much of like the very best and the very worst going on at all times.
Yeah.
Maybe art is my safe space to explore all that. It's being able to try everything free of consequence.
Do you find it's like an escapism for you? Like, even if like in a positive way, is it like an escapism for you a little bit?
Big time. I just always want the world to be bigger and more expansive and fuller. So even like music theatre, like give me a world where people break into song and dance at all times.
Yeah, for sure. What's your favourite musical theatre show?
Cabaret.
Oh my God. Love that.
I saw it way too young to know what it was properly about. And I was downloading the soundtrack on LimeWire back in the day, like I said.
LimeWire, love it.
But I only just, when I was in London last year, saw the London version of Cabaret. And when I tell you, I have not stopped telling people about it since.
I'm just like so enamored with it.
Obsessed. Oh my God.
I love it. I love it. Were your parents creative in any way, or were you complete, like, yeah?
Yeah, they are. My whole family have always been creative, but in very different ways. Like, I don't have any family that were actors, except my auntie. Everyone's got that auntie that does the family tree. And back in my mum's side of the family, there's like poets, actors, artists.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're creative in different ways. So my dad is very funny, outgoing, extrovert, larrikin. He's always the life of the party. He's always got a joke to tell, like classic dad jokes.
Yeah.
But he comes, his side of the family are very, like, they're all engineers. They're all mathematical. So they're all very precise. So they're all musical. But mum's side of the family are all visual artists, like painters. And my papa was really good at, not just really good, like gifted when it comes to woodwork. And granny was a beautiful, beautiful painter. And she worked as a painter her whole life, like doing before printing was a thing. So I think just art was always like in my blood. And I remember as well, Papa, which is on my mum's side, he would tell these funny stories of wanting to be an actor. And he always used to, and he's this funny little gruff Welsh man. And he, he'd just like randomly break into tap dance and he couldn't tap dance. It was just his little funny shuffle. And it was just kind of the family joke. And then he would tell these stories where he was like, oh, one day, you know, he's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to audition for the theater. I'm going to, you know, be a performer. I want to do it. And so he walked into the theater. He like gathers all his courage. He walks in, he knocks on the door and he's like, I'm here for the audition. And the guy takes one look at him and goes, okay, so you're going to go down the hall and it's the second door on the left. And so Papa is like, all right, second door on the left. He walks down the hall, he takes the second door to the left and it's the door to the alleyway. It's the
my God.
He's like, oh, well, I tried.
Yeah, you tried. Just keep going, keep going.
And he walked out and he's like, he never looked back. So yeah, I feel like it's always been
in your blood. Yeah. What stage were you like? Yeah. What stage were you like? I want to do film and TV though. Like, were you a little bit older, like after high school?
Yeah. So after high school, once I was 20 and I sort of outgrew the CPCA programs by like 2 years, I stuck around. I went off and studied marketing at uni. And
because
I
thought, the
stupidest decision of my life. I'm still dealing with my hex debt.
Bara, my hex debt is so big. I was so shocked about my hex debt. I was like, I don't even understand. Like,
I can't even imagine yours. You're always studying.
Mine was like, mine's like 100K. But it's so weird. It's two courses. It's literally two courses. And the worst thing is because they're like private creative institutes. If I had just gone to like RMIT, I feel like it wouldn't have been like that expensive.
Well, back when I was deciding on what to do next after high school, I didn't even really make a proper decision. I thought to myself, well, at the time, all the private institutions weren't HECS funded. And I was like, well, I don't have that money. And acting is kind of, it's fun, but is it a career? I don't think I can make it. Yeah. I don't think I'm 1%. And so I just put marketing down on my forms because the teacher said I'd be good at it. I didn't really even think about what that meant.
Yeah, just go with the flow.
Over 4 years, I'm like, oh my God, this is a business degree. What have I done?
You're like, fuck, I'm going to stay in it now. How many years was it?
4 years.
Oh, far out.
I barely noticed because I really didn't pay a lot of attention to the work. I kind of just partied through uni, which was
fair enough.
In its own right, I had my kind of crazy years and made some of the best friends I've ever met. So the way I kind of reframe my hex debt every time I like make payments is I'm like, look, if someone had told me, if you give me 25 grand, I'll introduce you to some of the best women you'll ever meet in your entire life.
Yeah. Like,
absolutely. They really are.
So do you have to make manual payments?
Well.
Or are you just doing it because you're like, get it off me?
You've got a good accountant. I sort of barely make the required amount. So
yeah, fair enough. I mean, that's what all of, like, apparently you don't, I feel like now you have to give part of your tax to it.
Yes.
Yeah, because it used to be how much you make, like if you make over a certain amount of money, and then but now it's like you're, they'll just deduct it from your tax, which is so freaking annoying. I'm like, far out.
You know what? It's not free money. You have to pay it back eventually. So
exactly, and we're kind of lucky. Like we are lucky here. They don't like necessarily, but it's not like your debt collector's calling you every freaking day chasing it. Like this girl in America was like shocked when I told her that like they don't chase us. Like we just like, you know, if we can pay it off, we can pay it off. But a lot of the time they say like it's the debt that you die with in our country.
Yeah, which
is like depressing, but like I don't like, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it's my, they were good years at uni. Like I had some good times, and I don't want to say I learned a lot, because like ask me anything about business, I couldn't tell you a single thing. But I was good at marketing, and I've worked in marketing for a while.
Mm.
But maybe 4 years into working corporate, I was like crazy depressed. I just couldn't. And it's the kind of depression where I was just like, oh, well, I guess my life's over. I guess this is it. I guess I'm just going to wear this fucking drudgery and it's over. And it got to the point, I know, depressing. it was my 24th birthday, actually, where the friends I was telling you about is the whole reason I don't mind paying my hex debt off.
Yeah.
They took me out for breakfast, and I'm just thinking like, oh yeah, birthday breakfast, fun, Sex in the City, Girls in the Town, like, and it ended up being what can only be described as an intervention,
where
they were like, you are so depressed, we can tell you are so unhappy.
Yeah.
And they gifted me a voucher to do some VCA courses, and that's kind of where things took a turn, because I got back into the part-time acting program at the VCA, just their little 8-week courses.
Yeah.
And I just, this whole new life came to me. I'm like, oh my God, there she is. I'm back, baby.
Yeah, you found yourself through going to that again. This is amazing.
And I remember at the end of one of the courses, I asked one of the teachers, like, how do I do this? Viable. I just, this seems so. And he said, is there anything else in the world that you're good at? And I'm like, well, yes, I'm good at a lot of it. Like, sure. And he's like, is there anything else that you can be happy doing?
Yeah.
So, hard no. I'm like, nah, nothing makes me feel like this. Nothing makes me as happy, as expressive. I don't feel as alive. And he's like, well, I guess you're stuck.
Yeah, like, stuck here.
That you enjoy, do that. But he's like, otherwise, welcome to the arts.
Yeah.
And it was a full year later that I quit my corporate job. And I went off and did the TAFTA full-time program.
What year did you do it?
I don't want to age myself.
Oh my God, just say it.
13 years ago.
Yeah, so not like that far after me.
Time program.
Before me, sorry.
And yeah, from there, I've just done short courses and programs, masterclasses, workshops ever since. And
yeah, but you've also come, like, you've also got quite a few credits behind you as well. Like, one being when you played the psycho in Neighbours, which is great. Love that. Live for that.
Love that. Love just coming in.
Love a good villain.
Love it, yes. That was a very, very lucky job.
Did you grow up watching them, like Neighbours and Home and Away? Like, what was your vibe?
Of course. It's just an institution growing up, you know. It's on TV, right, when you're eating dinner, you do, like, The Simpsons, Neighbours, Home and Away.
Mm.
Yeah.
It was freaking wild. Like when I went there and done my internship, and they're like in the props department, it was like, fucking hell. There's like telephones from like the 80s. Like there's sets that have like been there, like that are obviously not like they're all dismantled, but like it's just the couches, everything. It's like the history in it is just insane. You're like Kylie Minogue has walked these same halls. Margot Robbie's been around this, like, environment. And you're just, like, you sit back and you're just, like, the hell? Guy Pearce, like, all those big names now.
And it's not until you get there that you realize how fast they work. Oh, my God. Don't think I had enough respect for them before I went in.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's just like this machine and these wheels that are flying.
Mm.
It is just unbelievable.
Did you feel like it, what you learned throughout, like, your acting courses and everything like that, helped you go into that with, like, were you in going into that with ease, or were you, like, a little bit like, oh, holy shit?
I was not going with any kind of...
Do you get do you get a lot of nerves when you're, like, performing, or...
Oh, my God. It was, I feel like I was at a stage, of my life where I just felt like I could take on the world. Mm. And I had this, when I went for the job, it was kind of wild. I just got back from working in America and it was one of the hardest jobs I've ever worked. So I got back and I was like, oh my God, after that, I can bloody do anything. It was this role, and yeah, it was just kind of intense.
Mm.
And I really burnt out on that, came home, and I was just like, right, let's go back to acting. I can do anything after that.
Yeah.
And I was working at Tafta at the time in admin. Mm. And I got a call from one of John's other assistants saying, oh, John wants you to write this email. So can you just, like, dictate it? And I'm like, yep, got the email up. And she goes, it's to Thea. So, yep, Thea McLeod in the address. Hi, Thea. You know that role that you're casting, that mid-20s girl?
Mm.
Have you thought about Carly Williams? I was like, oh, that's me. Yeah, John thought of you for that role and attached your headshot and send it off to Thea.
Mm.
And I ended up getting an audition. She's like, oh, my God, absolutely. Here are the sides. Yeah, great thinking.
Mm.
So I put down that audition, and it was for the role of Ellie, which was a huge contract.
Jodie Gordon's role?
Yeah, and I ended up getting down to the final two for that.
That's so great.
And I was kind of on hold for so long while they tried to make Jodie's schedule work.
Mm.
And praying that they couldn't, and in the end they could, god damn it. But out of that, it was a really beautiful experience, because I ended up meeting Jason Herbison, Scott Major, who were really instrumental in championing me for another role, which in the end was Simone Bader.
Mm.
That was
the villain, the crazy girl. But that's so, it's so much fun. I reckon it's so much fun to play someone that's, like, just a villain, like, complete opposite to who you are.
That you know of.
Yeah, exactly, that I know of, but I'm pretty sure you're not the villain in real life.
Well, yeah, by the time that role came up, I auditioned for, I think, two more roles.
Mm.
And I knew I was going to get a role, and I was like, by that stage, and I just had this feeling one day, I was like, oh, my God, it's coming up, get ready.
Mm.
And so I put the date in my calendar just off the top of my head out of the blue. Hadn't had an audition in a while. And I put this date in my calendar to be ready by. I know you can't hear inverted.
No, we'll see it. We'll see it.
And I started, like, gymming and, like, getting ready and, like, getting fit, getting healthy. And I got this audition for Simone through, ended up getting that role. And when I got my first scripts, it was the exact date that I'd put in my calendar. So manifest.
That's insane. That is so insane. And it actually freaking does work. Like,
well, I've since tried that calendar hack a few other times and put, like, $1 million, middle of my life. So, yeah, I'm still working on those ones.
Still working on those ones. But wouldn't it be nice if you could get $1 million?
On your calendar, yeah.
Yeah, but that's so insane. Were you, was that time period on that like on Neighbours a good run for you? Like, or did you feel like, oh, I wish I had like more of an arc?
No, it was great. I can't believe what an arc they squeezed into 8 episodes for me.
Yeah.
It was really, like, looking back, it was a really lucky role to have landed because she, you know, came in hot, caused a bit of mischief, descended into absolute, like, you know, I'm throwing spanners at Olympia.
It's absolute chaos.
Actually crazy. And then you find out the reason why it's all happening, and I get that sort of redemption series scenes.
What's so, like your dream role? Like what's something that you've always wanted to do that you can see yourself doing? Because I feel like you're an action girl. Like I feel like I could see you like in an action role.
Oh my God. Oh, Manifest, I love that. Love psychological thriller. But my absolute pinnacle of like I've watched this role and been like, in a parallel universe,
yeah,
was Villanelle on Killing Eve.
Oh my God.
Like action, but just this sexy psychopath Russian assassin.
That's just crazy. Do you have a Russian accent? Do you know how to do a Russian accent?
God, no. But she doesn't use a Russian accent.
Okay.
She does. She doesn't speak Russian, is what
Yeah. But would you learn Russian for the role?
I'm Russian to learn Russian for that role.
Exactly.
I'd do anything for that kind of a role.
Yeah.
It's just so playful with it as well. Like you don't expect this sexy psychopath to be as playful and as childish. I mean, season one, Phoebe Waller-Bridge writing. And Jodie Comer is just so perfect and incredible. But yeah, oh my God, like, give me all the dialect coaching, please.
Yeah, for sure. What was so you've done a recent movie as well, Deluge, coming out in 2024.
Just hit the first.
Is that how you pronounce it? Because I was looking at it, I'm like, am I gonna butcher the name?
Deluge.
What? I'm confused.
Shit, man, that's me. Saying it wrong this whole
Ken, what's it about? How did you get involved with the project? And like who's your character? Just so the listeners can get a grasp on it.
Yeah, it is a film about love and loss and just shit timing and shit communication. It's very short and it came about because a friend of mine, Liam Murphy, who everyone knows from doing the
headshots. The headshot guy.
Yeah, great guy. He's an amazing cinematographer as well, but he needed more footage for his cinematography reels and work. And he approached me and said, oh, I've got these scenes in mind that I just need for my reel. Would you be interested in doing it? And I said, yeah, absolutely. But let's spin it into a narrative. So that we've got a film, so that we've got a product that hit festivals with, and you know, it just gives it something more. We can have credits from it.
Yeah, for sure.
We're just doing scenes that are on his reel, and so we started with. He's like, "Oh, I want to shoot this cinematic, like, classic crying in the bath footage," and we shot that, and he shot all these different artsy versions of it. But I was like, oh, my God, how fun would it be if the voiceover, like a voicemail where it's like it's really happy and fun and positive, but you can see from the visuals that the end result of that voicemail did not go well because obviously I'm like crying in the bath.
Yeah.
So from that, It's just such a simple story. It's my character Sarah calls her ex Joey, who's played by Shannon, says, you know, she takes a shot saying, "I miss you, I love you, I was wrong, and I'm sorry," in many more words. I condensed the script, should have just said that. but that voicemail, then you see that received by Joey, who's also missed Sarah leaves a voicemail saying, thank you, I miss you too, and I feel like I don't have much time left. You know, how long do these voicemail things go for? But then we pull back on the scene and see she actually means that she's about to fucking die. And so Sarah then gets that voicemail and is like, oh my God, we're going to be together, sick. But then over the course of that voicemail, we see visuals of Joey passing away. And
oh my God, that's insane.
Information. And yeah, we end with that scene of like Sarah at the very depths of her sadness, the very height of her happiness, voicemail plays. So it was kind of experimenting with telling different stories visually, actually saying, which, as we know as actors, people are rarely saying what they mean, but
yeah,
sort of wanted to play with that in a different way.
Exactly. That's awesome though. Like it's simple but has, you know, such a human element to it, and people will be able to like relate to it as well. Like I think like the simpler the better in Absolutely. Some ways.
And I think as well, it's like about how it's maybe a warning from myself to myself, like, get your shit together, stop procrastinating these things, like just have the hard conversation. Yeah. You don't know what time you have left. And it's
100%.
Also, I think a story about how I hope that everyone who's ever ghosted me has actually died, because like that's the only excuse I can think of.
Yeah, people that ghost, like even if you're not a guy and you ghost, like even if your friend, like you have a friend that just like falls off face of the earth, that doesn't give you an explanation as to why there's no longer a friendship there. I hate that stuff. I'm like, just be honest. Like,
really, like there's no excuse for ghosting. And also, if you ghost me, like I might die and you might try to call me later, and I might be dead. So fuck you.
Exactly. Like, oh my God. But I really like how, you know, being in the arts and doing these short films and making our own content and things like that help us reflect in our real life as well. Like it really allows us to reflect inward so much that you look at people that don't do the arts and you can see them not like having any reflection of who they are or what they do in their daily life at all.
Oh, that's so true. Like with every role and every thing that you write and every film that you make, it's like this is my thoughts and process anyway. It's not trying to create something external. I'm trying to explore a part of myself that I haven't given voice to yet, I'm looking for those parts of myself that are the same, because ultimately, you know, people are so much more expansive than they know. And you're so right what you say about people not in the arts not having that outlet to explore, but maybe film and TV and art and theater gives people, it's like that's a surrogate for their exploration, and they see themselves reflected in these things, or they have this stirring or this reaction to something they didn't think they would. And that's what
weird, like I relate to a lot of like fictional characters, like even though it's written and everything like that and you know it's obviously planned out, I just relate to so many fictional characters that you sit there and you're like, fuck, like some of these fictional characters I relate to more to people around me at like in certain stages of my life.
Which fictional characters do you relate to?
Oh, so hard. A lot of like when I was younger though, like even going through high school and you see that one person or whatever that's just like a little different, like not popular or anything, but struggling to find that like girl group or things like that. For a long time I just didn't have that like main girl group, and you're just like, why can't I have that? And then eventually like I did, but it was more just like throughout high school I was really like hanging on to every word like the fictional characters were kind of like saying or dealing with in their storylines. You're just like, okay, maybe I'm not like not, you know, I'm fine because these people are going through it. So it really helped like with navigating like being a teenager, being in that kind of position.
Yeah, that's so relatable, and that's, you know, that's such a good point that we feel so validated by seeing our own journeys on screen.
Yeah, I feel like it's, but that's like, that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of watching like TV shows. Even now, like when they're bringing out things like post COVID that are a little bit like about COVID, you're like, oh yeah, that's so relatable. Like just being stuck at home and missing out on like those years that we didn't have. Like we lost like 3 years essentially of like our life.
And I don't think I certainly am still feeling the effects of that sort of isolation and trauma. And
same.
You know, as well from working with people and working in service industry and working in customer service, people were not okay.
Like, yeah, no, definitely not.
Changed. And it's definitely, I've changed for it from it as well. So yeah, it's very interesting seeing all
that. You also realize your worth during that time as well. Like I didn't go back to hospo because I was like, stuff that, like, I don't want to waste like more of my time for bosses that are just absolutely like just cutthroat. Like it's really hard to find a good boss in hospitality. Like I've never had a good boss in hospo, like really.
Yeah, I'm lucky that the place I'm working, or I sort of work with, is a fantastic boss.
Yeah,
as I say that, they're caught up in a bit of a scandal.
Everyone has their flaws.
Yeah, but they've thankfully been let go, so that's all hopefully taken care of, because I'm about to work with them for Comedy Festival again, so
yeah,
back to hospo. But yeah, you're right that it made me reflect as well on like, where do I really want to be? Like anything can happen at any time. So what do you want to spend your time doing? And I think that's why last year I just finally got my shit together and said, right, do you want to live in Melbourne? At least not full time, love Melbourne, but I think I just want something bigger and more.
Yeah, like, I mean, Melbourne's always home. Like you can always come back. It's always going to be there.
Exactly. So go where you want to be, like do what
Definitely.
You want. Films, tell the stories, just do it.
Like I was going through crises in LA. I'm like, do I actually like LA? Like, because when I was in there, like when I was living there, I worked like I was working like 14 days of like in what, like just 14 days consistently in a row, and like it was like, do I actually like this place? And then when I got it taken away from me because I had to like pack up and leave because of ISO, I was like, far out. Like I just realized like a couple of years after just being stuck at home that I'm like, yeah, I do like it. Maybe the experience that I had wasn't what I imagined.
But that is, I feel like, the LA experience. It is such a hard place to be. And America just in general is a bit concerning at the moment. But
yeah,
I feel that here's the thing that I felt with LA. And this is how I explained it to mum and dad, even though it's so hard to explain. I'm like, in Melbourne, no one else is doing what I'm doing. All my friends have careers and kids and families, and I'm the anomaly here. And that in itself can be a bit tiring.
Yeah,
and because
definitely.
You're the one with the stories at the dinner party. You're the one that's like going on the bad dates or struggling with through this fucking visa, or like has hit a big snag with their film. And it's all so exciting to your friends who aren't doing that. Whereas when you go to LA, everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
It's like, of course you're working a service job. Of course you're working, like over here, like you feel like a bit of a loser still doing that in your arts career. Whereas when you're in a place where that's the hub of like filmmaking, it's no big deal. Yeah, everyone's working those jobs.
Exactly.
So it's like, you're not a loser over there. You're working an arts career.
Definitely. I feel that so much here. Like my friends are like, there's still a mixed bag of us in terms of like where we're at.
Yeah.
But they're all like essentially, and it's just how it's happened, but a lot of them are like, teachers, or, you know, they're just so far ahead with like their financial situation. And like at the same time, granted, no one judges anyone, but you just kind of feel like you're one step behind here. And I just like don't know why that comes about. And if it's something that we internally have to work on to not feel like that, but it's kind of like you've grown up like that. And it's a lot of the school system has made you like that.
Oh, big time. And it is ultimately just, it's not other people judging you. So, yeah. But also it is reflective of there just being less opportunity in a smaller.
Yeah. And it's so weird though, because so many things are filming here now. And actually like auditions are picking up, but it's just kind of like, you know where you want to be. And when you know when you want where you want to be, it's hard to change your mind about that, because there's no real reason to not go where you want to, like where you want to end up.
Yeah. And ultimately I think I want to be one of those people that splits their time, you know, just go.
Yeah, same. That's the dream.
Yeah, exactly. Just never have another winter is my ultimate.
Yeah, never have another. Yeah, just go from like summer to summer, like
summer, and just lose all my collagen. Yeah, I'm like, look like a leather bag when I'm older from the summer.
Oh my god, no way, no way. So you're going to LA's next? How, like, what are you in? You're currently in the process of getting your visa. How is it going? And are you almost there?
I have just submitted my final pieces of paperwork to my lawyer, which I've said 5 times because it's been a real fight, this visa.
Yeah.
So hard to get. It's not funny.
What are you getting on the O-1? Yeah.
Because I don't want to, I could go on a student visa. I could go on another one. I just don't want to block myself from that work.
Yeah, definitely.
Comes up. And I want to be auditioning for bigger and better.
Yeah.
It's all about, just expanding potential.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And what do you hope, like, do you want to do more of, like, your own content and things like that when you're over there? Is that, like, your plan as well, to do some short films and get that going?
There's such a, like, everyone's working on something there. There's such a good creative hub.
Definitely.
Making. So that, I love being around that energy. I'm so inspired by everyone there. So we want to be doing more writing as well. Like, I want to learn how to write properly, do maybe some of Pilar's courses.
She's so good. Oh my god, I gotta plug Pilar. She's so freaking good. Like, I started doing my feature with her a couple of years ago, and like, granted, it's like completely shifted now because Alicia, who we all love, put this like seed in my mind and was like, why are you doing this like so separate from your life? And I was like, this is now like planted a seed in my mind. I'm gonna have to go back and like rewrite.
Well, that's the best rewrite, is putting more.
Yeah, it is. And now it's kind of like sitting there and I'm like, I know I want to rewrite more of it and change it a little bit further, but I'm like, it makes so much more sense. It was so much more easier to do the rewrite than the first draft of the original like concept.
First drafts are always the hardest and the shit.
They are. But it's so weird because sometimes they can actually be like the easiest thing to write, and then you go back and you're like, hey, this is not so bad. I feel like it just depends what you're writing. If you know something, like, it's so easy, like it can be so easy.
You know what I feel like the thing is removing that layer of judgment, because I'm someone where I want everything to just be perfect and the best.
Yeah.
I'm like embarrassed if it's not. So yeah, I got to remove that judgment.
Definitely. You have to remove that like perfectionist part of yourself.
Shit version. And then go back and edit it and get different opinions, get different expertise, get another writer on board. You can fix it. Just get a first draft out.
Definitely.
That's exciting. Definitely. That your film's coming along though.
Oh, it's been so long. I started doing it in like 2021, I think, with Pilar.
You were working with Pilar on that.
Yeah, it was so long ago, but now it's like it's not completely changed. Like the bones of it are there, but it's just closer to home. Like it's not like an Italian family and stuff. Like Alicia was like, why the hell are you doing it as an Italian family and not a Greek family? I'm like, I don't know. I just was trying not to make it too much like myself. And then she was like, that's the worst thing you could do. Like, and I was like, you're so right. You're so right.
And maybe you needed to have that sort of separation just to get the story out. And now you can just inject yourself back into it.
Yeah, definitely.
And that personal touch is definitely what makes it.
Yeah, like that's definitely a longevity project. Like, I don't feel like I'll be filming that like real soon, but it's good when you get a feature down. It's so much easier than to write like a short film.
Yeah, wow. I just find it all so difficult. Are you one of these people that has like 10 drafts or 10 like starts of films?
Oh yeah, I have like 25 ideas that I've like written some things of it and then never gone back. Like, it's weird. Same.
I've got maybe 3. Like, I've got a full episode for a pilot that I started to share around and I was like, oh, I feel like this has got legs.
Mm.
And big chunks of it that have like TBA or like she does something to fuck up the situation. So I've just got to like insert all those and like.
Yeah. And sometimes it can be hard to sit and like just actually flesh out that whole idea.
Big time, because I think those are the blocks though that once you find that, it's always like that's the meat of the project.
Mm.
I remember hearing Meryl Streep once say, it's the parts that she struggles with in a character that yeah. once she gets it, that informs the whole character. So yeah.
That's so insane. That's she's a genius. Episode.
Like, it's fine. You just work out those little sticky points.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, this recent one, like this recent pilot that I've written, but I've wanted to do this project for so long. I just could never figure out whether I wanted to do a TV show or a feature film of it. And the content is so heavy. And I was just like, I needed to sit down and write this pilot. Because the pilot doesn't have to be like the heaviest bit of the series. Like it just needs to like set the story and the world up. Like it just needs to do that. And so I finally wrote it and I was like, okay, this isn't so bad, but I've got to like get it out there. I've got to like put it out there, get feedback.
Yeah. That's the hardest part as well, because it's so like you got to just set your ego aside and be fine, everything starts like everything has a start point.
Yeah, exactly.
Person. But yeah, it's I feel like you're so good at that though. Like you've always got a project and you're always so hard at work on your projects.
There's only a few that have really have come out. Do you know what I mean? Like that have been in festivals or whatever. And I have things that like these two projects, like the feature and the TV show now, I know their longevity. I think I'm closer to the TV show in getting some sort of thing filmed for that to like maybe pitch for like funding. But it's still like you feel like it's such a slow burn. You're like, I really want to just make this happen.
You want to cut to the fun part of like,
yeah. And that's what I struggle with,
like
not rushing.
Yeah, you just want to cut straight to that.
That's why short films are good, because in the meantime you can be like, oh yeah, let's film this short film. But I do struggle with like trying not to rush anything.
Oh, same. Which when you make your first few short films, you learn all the parts that you're like, oh, we don't need that, let's just do it. And it's like you look back in the film and you're like, oh, we really did need that.
Yes. Oh my God. Me and this like other girl, we did a short film like 4 years ago now. And oh my God, we've gone through the ringer with it. Like, and then we've now just finished, like managed to fix the sound.
Wow.
Now it's finally ready to go to festivals, but it's like, it's been like 4 years.
Yep. I made a film with Laura Belomo, mutual friend.
Yeah.
And at the time we were like, oh, we'll just wing like art department on the day. Like we don't really. Oh,
so hard.
And then when I watch it, I'm just like, you can't wing art department.
Nah,
like,
you can't.
Walls, and there's so many missed opportunities to tell more of the story. And I watch it now and I'm like, bloody hell, if we just put a bit more into that, or if we had just said like, no, this is important, or got someone else on board. And I'm such a visual person. I love working art department. I love that side of things.
Yeah, definitely.
So to let that go and now watch the film without any sort of intentionality around that visual aspect, I'm just like, oh, that was a big lesson for me.
Oh, yeah, you learn so much on short films. Even, like, as an actor, you learn how to do so many things, and it just prepares you to, like, depending how professional the short film set is, because sometimes you can get a mixed bag. But if you go on something like Neighbours and you've done a whole lot of, like, short films, it can help. It can help the director. It can help the crew on those, like, real professional sets not worry about you because you know what you're doing.
Especially on fast sets like Neighbours, you got to be good to go like immediately.
Yeah.
Like there's no waiting. It's like, there'll be shots where it's like you think you're in the wide, but then it turns out like they've punched in for the mid and you think you're going to be doing the mid in the next shot and they're like, oh, no, we got it. And then it's like, what? Like,
fuck, I wasn't ready.
You have to bring it at all times.
Yeah,
you're right. Those short films is kind of where you cut your teeth and you learn about shots and what to do within a frame and like
definitely that's why you have to be so intentional as well with what short films you do, because you're like, you can't do anything, but like even who you work with, like it's so good to work with people you know, because you know that that set's going to be like super professional.
Yes, or even just working with directors who have just come fresh out of film school and more directing the shot and directing the action. Working with the director that the film I made with Laura, we had Liza Dennis on, who is just this beautiful actress and so beautifully creative, and she's done a lot of dramaturgy and she's done a lot of intimacy directing. And so she came on to direct some of the scenes and was also in the film. And as soon as she was on set, she's an actor's director. You know, she's
directing
relationship. She's directing what's happening between these two people. And the whole thing just elevated. That's one part of the film that I'm proud of.
Yeah.
The art direction that I've totally. But yeah, having that kind of a director as well that you're so comfortable with, that's just so brilliant. And we got her sort of at the start of cutting her teeth on acting, and now she's not acting, she's a very proficient actor, cutting her teeth on directing, gone on to do lots more work in that realm.
That's amazing.
But like forming those relationships early on, everyone's
so important.
Yeah, working together and elevating together.
And that's how a lot of people got started anyway. I always refer back to like Matt Damon and like Ben Affleck. They literally had a friendship from like childhood and just really worked together to make their dreams happen. Like they literally were working together. Like that, I've read in like multiple articles that they actually like shared a bank account. Like it was, that's insane to me.
Wow. I didn't know that. But yeah, ultimate, like write your own script, write your own roles, cast yourself. I mean,
you just don't know. You never freaking know. Like you actually don't. And some things, like it comes hard to like fight for yourself. If you do get those big production companies or whatever involved, it can be hard to be like, hey, I want to be this, like this character. Like I wrote this character. I know this character. I know this world. But I feel like a lot of the time, if you have like a few bigger in the project, you can kind of, it's easier to like insert yourself if you're like an unknown.
Yeah, I mean that's the dream, right?
The dream, manifest that stuff.
But that's what we're sort of working towards when we create our own work
for sure.
Yeah, oh my god, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck,
they're just some people that I refer to because I'm like, that's literally, they did it together.
Yeah, and that is the dream as well, working with your friends and people that you love. And that's
exactly
what makes it so fun, is just working with other creative people, everyone at the top of their game, bouncing around good ideas. And
that's what Margot Robbie does now too. Like she's got this whole production company. She invites people that she loves, that she knows onto the sets, and you know, whether they're extras or featured people on there, it's just those are her friends that she has a history with, that she knows.
Yeah, Margot Robbie, let's put her on the manifestation board.
Yeah, let's put her on the manifestation board to work with, and like, let's get her on the podcast. Let's get her on.
Manifest.
Oh my gosh. All right. Do you know how crazy that would be if I got her on this podcast? I'd be like internally like shitting myself, but like still
I'd
excited.
Be shitting myself, let's be honest.
You can join us on the podcast. We'll like have a three guest podcast to this
podcast. Oh my god. I would
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I wish you the best of luck with everything. And the visa process, I hope it goes more smoothly. And you can get over to LA and just kill it over there.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on. I've, just as parting words, I've always watched you in the industry just continue to create your own stuff. You know, you've created this podcast. You've always got a film. You're always writing. You're always studying. So, yeah, that's always huge.
Thank you. Thanks, Carly. So nice. You're so sweet. Hey, it's so weird when someone talks about you like that, but it's nice. I like it.
Well, it's the kind of thing that no one ever says to your face, isn't it?
Yeah, they're just like, oh god, don't even get me started on people that are not in the industry that like are like, oh, when are you gonna be in a movie? What are you doing? Oh, yeah. That shit, that's annoying.
No, but it's like those voices from within the industry, that people who see you and see your work. But
for sure. For sure. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on. This has been so fun.
See ya. Bye. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find us on whatever podcast platform you use. And whilst you're there, please leave us a comment, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Thank you.